Thank you, Max, for leading us in song. Thank you, Doug, for your prayer. And thank you, David, for that very good reading of Psalm 23. And if you'll keep your Bibles open to Psalm 23, we're going to spend all of our time there this evening. As you see behind me, those verses are even made available up on the screen. And we're going to take some time to engage in a study of Psalm 23. You see, Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known psalm of all the psalms that are recorded in the Bible. Psalm 23 is a psalm that is often read at funerals, and it is a psalm that is typically referred to and read in many situations in which comfort is needed. To be simply put, Psalm 23 is a psalm of comfort. And it's important that we recognize that Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. And it's important that we recognize that this is a psalm of David that has been written, that is wholly drawn from the subject of a shepherd and his sheep. You see, as many of us are well aware of, David had experience as a shepherd. We learn there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 11 through 13, that David had been a shepherd from his youth. And because of that, David had gained many experiences as a shepherd, in which he uses as illustrations in this psalm of comfort concerning the relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. With that thought in mind, I want us to look at this psalm in view of a shepherd and his sheep. I want us to recognize and acknowledge the illustrations and the language that is used here by David as he illustrates the subject concerning a shepherd and his sheep. So to be simply put, this evening as we examine this psalm, let's do so through the eye of a shepherd. And I begin this evening with "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, David here proclaims the Lord, his God, as being his master and his caretaker. And we need to be mindful of the fact that the statement emphasized here is a statement which emphasizes utter contentment with the care provided by the Lord. You see, David, he knew firsthand the destiny of any particular sheep depended greatly upon the one who was its shepherd. David realized that as a shepherd. He realized that the destiny of any particular sheep of his flock depended upon the care that was provided by that shepherd. And here David proclaims the Lord as being his shepherd. You see, as God's people, the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. And we need to be mindful of the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. We need to be mindful of the fact that under the care of some shepherds, the sheep may struggle, they may starve, they may suffer disease. They may endure endless hardship. But with the Lord being our shepherd, all those things will be dissolved. Simply because the Lord provides for his sheep, and he will give to them all that they need. We can learn that from the phrase, I shall not want. Some translations read, I shall not lack. And David not only acknowledged the fact of the Lord being his shepherd, but he also acknowledges the provisions of his needs that would be provided by his shepherd. And we too, as God's people, need to be mindful of the fact that he will provide for us and give us all that we need. When I think about those words of David in regard to the Lord being his shepherd and him not wanting or lacking, I can't help but to think about the words of Jesus that we find recorded in Matthew chapter 6. And there in Matthew chapter 6, if you recall as good Bible students, Jesus specifically emphasizes the need for believers not to worry. The need for them not to worry about the things that they'll eat, the things that they'll drink, the things that they shall wear. He said, don't worry about those things. And he even uses the illustration of the birds of the air and the grass of the field and how God provides for them and how much more he'll provide for us. And then he tells us there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things shall be added to you. Simply put, when we put God first in our lives, we have no need to want. We have no need to worry about the necessities of life, understanding that God will provide for us. He will see that we will receive the things that we need. Just as David brings out in this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But we go on to see there in verse 2 of Psalm 23. Those words of David recorded, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Again, from the perspective of a shepherd recognized the fact that sheep, they don't easily lie down. Those of you that have been around sheep know that sheep is a creature that is easily agitated. They recognize that sheep are a creature that in order for them to lie down, there's going to have to be some requirements that are going to have to be met. In order for a sheep to lie down, that sheep is going to have to be free from fear, from any harm. In order for a sheep to lie down, that sheep is going to have to be free from tension and friction even among the flock. In order for a sheep to lie down, that sheep is going to have to be free from being agitated by pests, things such as flies and ticks, anything that could agitate it. And in order for a sheep to lie down, it is going to have to be free from hunger. And it is almost impossible for a sheep to lie down unless those requirements are met. And here, David paints for us a serene picture of rest and contentment. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, the provisions that are provided to the sheep of the divine shepherd will bring the flock much comfort and contentment. Those words of David emphasize one who is comforted one who is in a state of contentment. And when you think about that, you think about what David said there in regard to, he leads me beside still waters. It gives you that picture of peace. Gives you that picture of contentment. And again, it fills us with comfort. You see, the Lord, He knows what is best for His sheep. And in order for one to be content, they must recognize the fact that the Lord knows what is best. And He will ever be with the sheep of His pasture. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about, again, the provisions that is given to those who follow the Lord. The Lord will provide for His people. He will take care of His people. And He knows what is best for His people. We go on to see there in verse 3 where David says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, there's some different thoughts in regard to what David is referring to here. But again, looking through the lens of a shepherd, we recognize that the shepherd has the responsibility to restore or to nourish the bodies of his sheep. How does he do that? Well, we talked about that in the previous two verses. By providing the provisions for his sheep. By leading them to green pastures. And we need to be mindful of the fact that no matter what way we look at this verse in regard to the shepherd's responsibility to restore or to nourish, provide nourishment for his sheep, or rather in regard to that of bringing one back. Because again, those of you that have sheep recognize that sheep, they're actually a pretty dumb creature, aren't they? I see Ashley shaking her head yes. She knows what I'm talking about. Sheep, they're not smart creatures. And sheep can easily go astray and get lost, can't they? And who is the only one that can lead and restore that sheep back to the flock? The shepherd. And we need to be mindful of the fact, even if we look at it from that angle, that it's only the Lord who can restore the soul. As we learn here in verse 3. And we need to be mindful that we must follow the ways of the Lord, always remembering that they will lead us in the paths of righteousness. You see, as David had made mentioned in other parts of the Psalms, the way of the Lord is righteousness. And we need to be mindful of that as His people. We need to be mindful that it is only He who can restore the soul. And it is He who leads in the pathways of righteousness. But we also go on to see probably the most familiar verse of Psalm 23 there in verse 4 where David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Again, this verse is probably often misunderstood in regard to the true meaning in which David is referring to here. And again, looking at this through the eye of a shepherd. A shepherd would have to lead their flock through mountainous valleys in order to get their sheep to the top of the mountain pastures. And in order for those sheep to reach the top, the shepherd would have to lead the flock through these mountains and these mountainous valleys. And these valleys, although they were very dangerous paths to take, they were often the best way to take, because they had the best grades in order for the sheep to be able to take up, in order to lead them up to the mountaintops. And they also provided the best sources of water. But again, as a shepherd was leading his flock through these mountainous valleys, it would have been a very dangerous journey. It would have been a dangerous journey simply because of the fact that there would have been rampaging rivers and flood while they make the journey. There could have been rock slides while making the journey through these valleys. There could have been avalanches while making the journey. There would have been poisonous plants that would have been along the way as they were making their journey through these valleys. And then there would have also been that ever-present danger of predators. It would have been a dangerous journey leading the flock through these mountainous valleys. But yet, although some believe when the psalm says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, although they're thinking that this is talking about and speaking about death, it's important to understand that this is not a psalm of death. This isn't a psalm of death. Rather, this is a psalm of comfort. And what David is talking about here in regard to even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He is simply talking about the fact that the shepherd is there to lead us through difficult times. Think about that. Picture that in your mind. A shepherd of the field leading his flock of sheep through these mountainous valleys and terrains, and the ever-present dangers that would have been before them while they were taking this journey. But yet, that shepherd of that flock was ever-present with his sheep. He was there to protect them from the dangers that could arise. For instance, if they would have got off the path and went into a place where they would have been eating possibly poisonous plants, he would have been there to guide them back on, to get them away from that. If they would have happened to go astray or to slide off the path, he would have been there to pick them back up, to help them back on that path, to be able to continue on. He would have been there to continue to protect them from the ever-present danger from the many predators that they could have encountered. And looking at it from the shepherd's view, we can make application of that with ourselves, with the Lord. You see, the Lord is our shepherd. We are His sheep. And the Lord is there to help us through those difficult times. And the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We learn about that there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that. And know that the Lord will always be with us. He'll always be with us to help us persevere and lead us through those difficult times. We go on to see there in verse 4 also where David said, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Again, to most people, those are instruments that many are probably not very familiar with. But to those who are familiar with sheep and shepherding, they are instruments that are very familiar. And they're instruments that are used, that are important in regard to the tools of a shepherd. You see, the rod, it is a tool of a shepherd that is used for many things. It's used as a source of discipline. It's used as a source of protection. And it's used as a source of inspection. Again, those of you that are familiar with sheep, you recognize that it's not always easy to see the well-being of your sheep. It can sometimes be deceiving because of the wool and how much wool is on that animal. But the rod would have been used in order to separate that wool so that they could inspect the well-being of that sheep. To really see, to make sure that it was getting the nourishment that it needed. The rod would have been used as a tool to protect the sheep from any predator that may come around. And the rod would have been used as a tool to discipline the sheep. You see, unfortunately, there are some sheep that they want to let everyone know who's in control, don't they, Ashley? And sometimes that sheep has to be put in line. And whose job is that to do? The shepherd. The staff. You can kind of picture the staff. It's kind of a walking cane, so to speak. But again, it's a tool that is used for shepherding. It's a tool that has a hooked end. And it's used not only for shepherds, for their stability, to help them get around and to hold themselves up, but it's also used as a tool for drawing the sheep together. You ever use a staff before to draw the sheep together with that hook in? See, that staff can be used for that. It can be used as a tool to even draw the sheep to the shepherd. It's used as a tool to guide the sheep. And when we think about the rod and staff of the Lord, David said that the rod and staff of the Lord provide comfort. Think about that. Think about that. You see, respectively, the rod and staff of the Lord provide comfort, and we gain that comfort and that protection, that source of discipline, that inspection, that drawing near, that guiding. How do we get that as the Lord's people? Through His Word. Through His Word. And we need to be mindful of that and about how David refers to the rod and the staff of the Lord as the source of providing comfort. We go on to see there in verse 5 where David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Again, looking at this verse from the eye of a shepherd, the table that is being talked about here probably is not a table that you and I are familiar with. It wouldn't be in regard to a table in which we would sit down and eat. But rather, the table that is referred to here is probably in reference to a land table. And again, land tables, tables of land that would have been on top of the mountaintops. And when you think about what David said here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Again, a shepherd's primary responsibility for sheep would be to lead them to those pastures of nourishment, to those places to where that they would be able to flourish. And the best places for sheep to do this would be on top of the mountaintops. They would have been on those tables of land, on those mountaintops. And although the Lord or a shepherd prepared those places for the flock, the enemy was still ever present. And when we think about that, we think about the fact that the Lord leads us even as our enemy looks on. How true. How true. The Lord leads us even as our enemy looks on. And He is ever present to protect us. We go on to see there, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. To be simply put, this is language used to describe a state of complete satisfactory. This is a state of satisfaction. And when you think about the language used by David here, you anoint my head with oil. It is language that was often used in ancient times in regard to those who were in a position of power, those in a position of strength, those that were in a position of being completely satisfied. What would happen? Their heads would be anointed with oil. And we need to be mindful of the fact that in order to be in a state of complete satisfactory, in order to be in that state, it's only found in the presence of the Lord. We go on to see there in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Simply put, the Lord's favor and the blessed, comfortable effects and benefits of His favor are expressed with these words of David. You see, we recognize that goodness and mercy, those are favorable attributes of the Lord. And here David has confidence that the goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow him all the days of his life. For the remainder of his days, he had confidence that the Lord's goodness and mercy would be upon him. You see, David uses that as an expression longing to continue be in the presence of the Lord and to be in continual fellowship with him. And he goes on to say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, the expression is in view there of being able to continue to enjoy the blessed privilege of being in fellowship with the Lord. When I think about that statement, when I think about verse 6 and I think about dwelling in the house of the Lord, when I think about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, and I just reflect upon this psalm, and in view of the psalm, I am completely baffled at the thought of why anyone would ever want to leave the fold of God. Think about that. You see, the psalm we've examined this afternoon emphasizes the provisions of the Lord, emphasizes the comfort, the contentment which is provided by the Lord. And here's the thing. These provisions, they're only available for those who obediently follow and abide in the Lord. And why? Why would anyone ever want to leave and leave behind those provisions? You ever think about that? I thought about that in study of the psalm. And it baffles me. It baffles me that there are some who have experienced these provisions, but yet turn their back on the Lord and leave them behind. However, brethren, we must always remember that comfort and contentment are only found in the Lord. And may we be mindful of this psalm. And the next time you read this psalm, remember that this was a psalm written by David, who had been a shepherd from his childhood. And look at this psalm and reflect upon this psalm through the view of a shepherd. And when you do that, it'll help you better truly understand the real meaning and the thrust of this psalm of comfort. Maybe there is one here this evening who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you can confess your belief in Jesus Christ. You can repent of your sins and you can be baptized for the remission of your sins this very hour. And you too can become a child of God. And you too can be one who has that hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie promised before time begins. And you too can be subject to those provisions that we've talked about tonight that are only provided by the Lord. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've got sin in your life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here tonight who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, wherever your need may be, let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song of Max's Selection.